That's the Chunky. This is Kevin alongside Jared, King of the Slams, and James, who does not live in a hotel.
Tell the kid.
Or does he? Because then all the other things would be lies, too. We have a huge feat today, which is to finish. We're going to try to finish our season two rankings. We left off kind of halfway in our part two. I did not get any listener death threats about calico cut pants. I do think I got one that was like, it should be higher. What's funny is I feel like I got something that was critiquing one of your opinions more too. I can't even remember. I should have dug that up for some good trash talk.
It's fine. I can take it.
I just posted on our Instagram. I accidentally stumbled into this clip because basically Bill Hader's ex said he was like, well, oh,
yeah.
Endowed.
Yeah. I saw the same clip.
And there was a sketch on SNL where he plays a character and like these two people are roasting all their coworkers and they don't roast Bill Hader's character being like, go live a good life. You're well endowed essentially. And then Tim Robinson comes in and basically makes Kevin Hart crack the fuck up, which I've never seen. We'll link that in the show notes. You guys have any other?
I've seen that before, but it's really funny. I mean, yeah. And it's very low effort, Tim Robinson. I mean, he's just kind of like playing this goofy old guy, but like, all right, okay, guys. You know, just kind of taking anything from them, but
yes. It's
pretty funny. He just has a goofy grin on his face, and it just kills me.
Yeah, and I have one other, like, interesting tidbit, but it'll actually work into what we're talking about tonight, so.
Oh, man.
I'll wait for that sketch.
You know, one thing you don't do anymore, and maybe it's just, you're just too busy, is you don't do the poll, like, where you try to make me guess what the Reddit users pick.
Well, all right, I'll do it.
I missed that.
I'll do it next time. Yeah, I think we just have so much content now, allegedly, in our minds. But yeah, that was always fun. That was a good way to set off. I know. I might go listen to episode two at some point soon. It's a great podcast. Right. That's a Chunky. It was uploaded this morning. Anyway, so Jared.
Yeah.
I have listed my number 15 sketch, which is the, middling calico cut pants. Nobody really cares for the sketch at all, except for maybe you. But we're going to get
– Can I interject on calico? Because I feel like this is going to be our discussion. I was so unprepared to talk about it last time that I didn't even think about the batteries. And I'm ashamed by that because the batteries is arguably the funniest part of the whole thing.
I agree. I think it's really funny.
It's so funny. I mean, like the fact that he, like the whole origin of him pissing himself is that he's so upset that his wife keeps going to the hospital because she's eating batteries is amazing. Watch batteries, not even like regular. It's amazing. So yeah. I'm still upset that I missed that. The other correction, and this is like several pods ago, I think, okay. I made the representation that every key figure on the Detroiters was in the show, and I said the old lady, the receptionist, was his mom in the Ghost Tour sketch. I do not think that is true. I think it's a completely different woman.
Okay.
I need to apologize to both actresses because I think I went on the wrong path. You can only see her very briefly. But it's pretty apparent to me that it's a different older lady that plays.
Yeah. Speaking of Detroiters, they do feature Andre Belew, who somehow on a 25 sketch season, you had it ranked number 100.
That's not true. That's not true. It was number 24.
Okay.
That. Everyone knows that. I love Andre Belew. He's a great guest. I'm not going to respond any further to that issue. So thank you.
All right, I'm just going to say this out loud. James, we currently can't see you, but I think we're going to start talking and see if your issues resolve. A little behind-the-scenes action for the listeners of That's the Junkie.
James, say if you're there. Oh, God. I don't think he's there.
Maybe we should wait.
No, oh, he's back. He's back. All right.
All right. All right. On that note, Jared, we're going to have you get into your number 15 sketch. It's like the 15th best student at MIT.
So is this – my last number 16 was the lunch meeting?
Correct.
Okay. I'm going Dangerous Nights at 15.
Wow.
Which is – it seems kind of harsh. I love sloppy steaks as much as anyone else. I think it's a great concept. I think that from like a laugh ratio, I just didn't laugh as much on this one, although I love his whole shtick with the dad and the mom on the couch, and then the way he defines this universe of pieces of shit, which I, by the way, the phrase piece of shit is never going to be lost on me. It is a great phrase. It made it into, I think, that Vans commercial or the skateboard commercial that went viral for a brief period of time. I love the phrase piece of shit. Don't get me wrong. I just didn't. And then the music is cool. It just, it's not like,
it's really good.
It's good.
It's in my key zone.
All right. Well, the second half of it, other than them like quickly pouring water on their steaks, which is hilarious as the waiter is running to them, it gets just kind of like, you know, it's more like artsy when they're on the beach and everything. So that's why I put it 15. I'm open to criticism on that. Probably could have knocked it up a couple spots, but that's where it is.
I think everything we're talking about today is totally reasonable everywhere, right? Like outside of a couple sketches. I have it number 8. I don't think 15 is crazy at all.
Okay. Wow.
I a little pushback I'll have. By the way, I did ask James when we did our music episode, does the fact I like the song from the montage mean I'm a douchebag?
That's a fair question. But
it is fair. I would argue that there's some parallels in this sketch and Calico Cut.
What it's funny, that's my number 8. So like we both got upset.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's upset, like, and the there's like eight. There's like a slow build up with some really good jokes in the build up. Right. For like a payoff at the end. I think the montage is like really amazing. I think the way it's shot, what's included in it, the interactions of like everybody. I think it's like I don't think it's the best minute of season 2, but I think it's like on a short list of like 5 to 10. Again, I think it's totally reasonable, your ranking. There's a lot of funny, like, repeatable stuff in here from, like, piece of shit. The characteristics of a piece of shit, slick back hair, white bathing suit, and so on. And then the grandfather's version, so that there was, like, a different amount, or the whatever the father. The baby, him worrying that the baby thinks people can't change is just fucking crazy.
Also, thinking that Meredith is acting weird because she thinks that he cares that the baby thinks people can't change.
Yeah. The little blue dolphin, Rob Ravani, that thing is
funny.
One of the funniest like line readings of the season. You know, just the whole thing where, like, they say no sloppy steaks, but they can't stop you from ordering. And then, like, they show in the montage, the guy's like, hey, guys, no sloppy steaks. underrated is somehow they found a baby with, like, a head roughly the size of a dwarf planet. I don't know how you do that. But, yeah, I love the montage. I think I think Ezra Koenig probably had like that song lying around and Tim figured out what he could do with it, but it's just like really good. There's no way those dudes wouldn't love that song. But again, I totally get why you would put that 15. I just had to put it number 8. James, give us your thoughts.
Well, I can totally understand where you guys are coming from on it, especially I think the pre-montage part at the baby shower, I guess. Or I don't know. It's a baby shower, right? Or is it a birthday?
I think it is a baby shower.
Yeah.
Well, she had the baby, another one, right?
Okay. But I mean, that part was slow for me to really like fully fall in love with. I mean, there's definitely like some parts in that were funny from the first watch, but some of those things about like his, you know, like I don't give a rat's ass about you know, whatever, like people thinking I'm a piece of shit, and so some of those like kind of were a slow burn. But I have always thought that the whole Sloppy Steaks sequence and flashback was great. And I will say, I mean, this one is one of the most referenced and memed ones. Yeah. And when I did the tournament of sketches across both seasons, this was in the final round and only lost to Brian's Hat. So,
wow.
I think strong praise. You guys having it like, you know, significantly lower than the fan vote is, you know, not crazy, but
death threats.
You may get some pitchforks outside of your
I welcome
homes.
Them. Yeah.
My list is amazing. I have no fears. All right. My number 14, as long as we think we've talked enough about it, I think we feel good. So my number 14, we already talked about, is Tammy Crabs.
That's a high ranking for Tammy Crabs.
I think it's a pretty awesome sketch. I think it's one of the there's some real subtle like commentaries in season two. Obviously this one on the toy industry. It's like to make a toy that's unique, it has to be ridiculous. This is where I'll tell my story though. I watched this movie on Netflix called The Gray Man the other day, which features Billy Bob Thornton, the basis for Detective Crashmore. Billy Bob Thornton's niece in the movie is the girl from the Tammy Crabs sketch.
What?
And that's just, you know, that's like, that's some cosmic gumbo right there.
That is cosmic gumbo.
And she's featured prominently. Like, she might be like the third most important person in the movie. And just like the whole time, I just like I can't stop thinking of her saying like, bye hun. You know, 60 LBs and 5 Macanudos.
So she must have done that movie before recording Tammy Crabs, right?
I think Netflix is churning out some movies pretty
they do
quickly.
Stuff.
It's a really good question.
I saw that movie. I think she looked a little bit older in that movie than in Tammy Crabs, I thought. So it might have been more recent, or maybe around the same time. But I will say of that movie, you know, I thought it was a cosmic mix of the action of the 90s combined with the exploitation films of the 70s, but with modern touches. It's hyper violent, but it knows what it is. It's a little bit Tarantino. It's a little bit Michael Mann. It's kind of a cosmic gumbo.
It really
almost moves to the beat of jazz.
Really? Well,
I don't know,
done.
That was what I thought of it.
Well done. It really is.
I've got to check it out. I mean, that's strong praise.
I just also want to throw out before we move on that I can't believe, like, in this world of moral outrage, that they were allowed to shoot the final scene of Tammy Crabs, where it's just her like sniffing the cigar and being like, yeah, she's like a what, 9-year-old girl talking about how good it is to smoke cigars. I'm like, if a kid just like accidentally saw this, like, I grew up in a neighborhood where like I've seen a 9-year-old kid smoke a cigarette, you know what I mean? Like, so it just doesn't seem. Nice job, Tim, getting that through the the censors.
That didn't even faze me at all, by the way. I don't know. I did not see any problem with that. But
I mean, because you smoked when you were 9. So.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It's a good way to decompress.
Yeah, I know, it really is.
All right, so we can go right to your number 14. Don't fuck it up, Jared, for real. Scares me a little.
I thought about swapping it with my 13, but I'm just going to keep it. I'm going to go Little Buff Boys, okay? And so I was down on this sketch right off the bat because of a couple reasons, which I've said before, which are I put Sam on such a pedestal that, like, his talent, I thought might have been a little wasted on this. Now, I'll talk about where I am now on the sketch. And also, it seemed a lot like The Baby of the Year, which was Sam's big hit in season one. And I don't know, I just expected more from it, I think, when I first watched it. But Deuce, you kept telling me, like, the writing and it's really good, like, listen to the words they're saying, which is very good advice.
Squishing and crunching.
But there are a lot of memorable quotes in it. Like, Carve of Beef, who's carved up.
I've
some of my male friends, like, when they, like, if they look like they've been wearing, I'm like, you look like a carve of beef. And they're like, what? And then Goose Suit, the old circus term, which, by the way, I did some Googling on that. I don't think that's true. I think that's just made up.
No, he made that up. That's the genius of Sam.
It's believable enough that I was like, okay, I can buy that it's an old circus term. It's funny when you type it in Google, it's like you say Goose Suit and then it immediately populated with old circus terms. So you know that it's just all like, I think you should leave people. I kind of like the setting of it, of just these like boring corporate like conferences, because I've been to some of these before, and usually it's like kind of an inspirational speaker that comes in that's embarrassing, or they do some sort of musical bit, kind of like the opening musical bit in the show where they demand her hat back, which I think is also hilarious. Crap. Like, we need the hat back. The lines of it are funny. The discomfort of the boss, like, trying to just get out of there and, like, not wanting to go up. And then Sam's lines are really freaking funny. Like, well, look at that brick.
Can we pause?
Yeah, go.
Can we pause for a second? He is – this is a – in my – once I figured out that some of these sketches were actually, like, social commentaries,
yeah,
this is about child beauty pageants, right?
Yeah.
And it's,
yeah,
like, you're, yeah, adults are saying, like, that child is beautiful. And
yeah,
so in this one, he's flipped it. It's boys. And instead of saying, like, they're beautiful, you're saying, like, they've got the best body.
Yeah.
And the guy very wisely is like, no, I'm not doing that. Yeah. And, but Sam is just, like, keeps being, like, these slippery ways of being, like, you gotta pick. And, like,
yeah, to me, that's a great point. Really, that's an excellent
also
point.
He says it's, George X is the name of the company, which makes me think of SpaceX. Is this supposed to be Tesla?
Oh.
Because this could be Vinod's go-to sketch if it is.
And he did compete in Little Buff Boys as a child, so that's,
yeah,
that this is his sketch in more ways than one.
Does he own his own Little Buff Boys franchise now?
Pretty much.
Goose Suit.
A goose suit.
With
the
goose. Sam says it like that.
The one line, I watched this one yesterday or the day before when I was doing like a little background research, and I love the one, like, I think he calls a kid a brick shit house, and then and then proceeds to say, you must be dumb as shit. Or, like, he says, like, you must be dumb as shit or something like that.
He says, look at this little brick shit house. Look at the old meathead. You're dumb as bricks, ain't ya?
Which is like, I mean, he's like, he's generally building the kids up, but that was a pretty brutal assault on that poor kid. Probably, I feel bad for, just because he won, but then was denied the title.
He also says, we goose him a little bit. put your warm hands together. I don't know why
that's so good.
My wife was telling me recently she read some sort of, I think it was even like one of those like domois, like the unsubstantiated rumors. And the rumor, I think it was like, Sam Richardson is the funniest person of all time. Like, it was like literally like people saying like, no, this dude is the funniest guy ever. Yeah, no, I think the sketch is it's a little weird. It's off kilter. Your brain wants to compare it to Baby of the Year. It's not as good as Baby of the Year.
Right.
I do think the song is really funny. I could just like, I think I could, I want to say I could watch Sam like do anything. Although he's like the national spokesman for some ad recently. And I feel like the ads are kind of bland and not that funny.
Oh.
I'll have to get some. They're fine.
He's got to put food on his table. I mean, you got.
Oh, I don't blame him. If you direct something with Sam in it that's not funny, like you kind of fucked up.
Yeah, it's on you. Yeah.
Yeah, right. It's not his fault. James, thoughts on Little Buff Boys?
Yeah, I think my thoughts are similar to what you guys have said already. Although I will say, last episode when we were talking about the music of the show, I feel like you convinced me a little bit to like raise this one up in my internal rankings, just because I feel like the song is better than I had given it credit for, and there's like a little bit of, you know, differentiating from the Baby of the Year that is pretty good. There's good details in this one that I feel like I hadn't fully, you know, internalized and appreciated. This is a great one. It's, I think the Troll Boy thing is sort of probably the most like lasting, memeable and referenced part of it for sure. But Goose Suit is up there too. Anytime there's like a like person in a muscle suit or a person who's like overly strong or like a little kid, there's like a child bodybuilder that every like I week or so kid. Someone will send me a picture of that kid and say they goose him a little bit. It's good.
I had it ranked number 12, so we had like total consensus there.
Well, there was a lot of drama build up to that, but yeah, we got in the same place.
I could have put it higher. Like my like 12 to 8 is like kind of all could have been anything, but I feel good about where that was. All right. So number 13, I put a sketch which weirdly when I was watching it like a few months ago, it was cracking me up more than any other sketch for a little while. It's kind of like toned down a little for me. It's just a sketch I'm really inconsistent on, but sometimes it kills me and sometimes I'm kind of like, ah, okay. Mars Restaurant is my number 13. Mm-hmm. You had that 18, Jared. 18, yeah. So yeah, we already talked about it a little bit. I just want to see if I had any additional notes on it. I saw one theory, I can't remember where it came up, where somebody was like, I bet Tim is doing the voice on the wall and not the kid. But I kind of watch it. I actually think it's the young guy doing it. I just really like the casting of I mean, obviously I love Tim Heidecker in it, but also the woman is just amazing. I don't know if she's ever watched I Think You Should Leave. but she does a great job. And I'll just, since we already talked about it, we can move on, but I'll quickly throw out the line. Who the fuck are you? I'm that.
yeah, that's good.
It's just like such a Tim Robinson like writing line.
I just have a brief story on Tim Heidecker, because we're okay. My wife is adamant that one of my former coworkers' wife is his sister. And I'm just like, no, she is not Tim Heidecker's sister. And I get, and like, it's led to a lot of conflict where she keeps forwarding me, like she's Facebook friends with the wife. And like, she's like, see, she's promoting this Tim Heidecker show. And I think Tim Heidecker is producing a show that's coming out with two guys in it. And it's like a kind of like a sketchish reality show. And I think her brother is one of the main guys in the show, but it's not Tim Heidecker, but there's a constant dispute in my house as to whether, because she keeps saying, well, you can get him on the podcast. I'm like, Tim Heide, and then I was Googling like Tim Heidegger's sister, and he does have a sister. It is not this woman. apparently my friend's wife's brother is on a show that Tim Heidegger is doing.
Okay.
Possibly with Eric Wareheim. So I don't know. I haven't done enough to like dig into the show. I just want to disprove that she is Tim Heidegger's little sister.
I'm sold. I believe your wife that it is. But I do want to throw out that Smirnoff gave Tim and Eric and Zach Galifianakis a bunch of money and full creative control to do an ad campaign.
What?
And if I remember right, it starts kind of semi-normalish, and the last one is maybe the craziest thing I've ever seen. Weird reason. Yeah, it's worth a watch. Those guys are, you know, not all of it's going to be for everybody.
Between Two Ferns is...
Oh, my God.
It's so funny.
I totally agree.
He's so good at that. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
There's also an SNL sketch where, like, he interviews kids. And I think he pretends to be dumb. And I think he asked the kid if Usher is Justin Bieber's grandfather or something. The kid might say, yeah, it's way off. But yeah, that dude's very great at improv.
Oh, I got to see this ad campaign. Smirnoff.
Yeah, Smirnoff.
I feel like maybe I've heard of that, but I've never watched it myself. That's an undertaking I need to make sure.
I'm going to link it. Jared, we're at your number 13. We're getting up there.
I thought about swapping this down to 14. It's kind of a dinky little sketch, but it sticks with me a lot. It's Parking Lot. Which I don't... Did you rank that already? I feel like it would have been lower on your list.
Yeah, you know, I had it 18.
Okay, so we're...
But I really like it. Yeah, it's just kind of like... It's one of those things where it's like, there's not, it's like when in the Olympics, somebody does kind of like a moderately hard dive or, but they absolutely nail it. You know what I mean? It's like, there's not a lot to it. It's just great.
I love the, I don't know what any of this shit does and I'm fucking scared. I mean, that's like, that's the money line. And I think about this sometimes, like at work, if I'm like caught on something, I feel like saying that. Of course, I'm sitting in my home office. So I never am around anyone to say it. but I just love, like, I love the concept of a guy, a grown man in a minivan who doesn't know how to drive.
Because everyone's
amazing. Like, I feel like it's a riff off of the, do you even know how to drive? Like, the common, like, thing people yell in traffic. And it's just like they took that and they're like, let's fuck around with this. And it's funny. And then, you know, this guy yells and like the where he goes with it on the job interview. It hits on some like things that happen in day-to-day life that you don't think about a lot. And then, but it's done in a really funny way. And I have a soft spot for it.
Yeah, it's a riser for me. Like I like it more and more every time I watch it. I know we talked about it before, but James, I do want to give you a chance.
I would just say the same. It's like simple, perfectly executed, has some memorable lines and like clips that, you know, are very repeatable or memeable or just like good very adaptable. The line about like, what if you get to where you're going and it's a job interview and I can't get a boss?
So good.
It's like,
I'm not going to a job interview.
You could be a year from now. Everyone's saying like, that guy's great. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. That guy yells.
I love Tim Krang too. Tim Krang is great.
Yeah.
Anytime he cries.
I feel like the job interview thing is like sort of a little bit of contrived trope thing we'll see in like, it's like one of those stories that's like a, you know, email forwards from your grandma or whatever. But I like that he's grasping at that as like a justification for why this guy should like, you know, not yell at him as if it's a plausible thing that could happen.
All right, we're gonna sneak in one more. So we did my number 12, which was Little Buff Boys. We already talked about. So Jared, we're up to your number 12.
All right, we're hitting the territory now where it's just all-star material.
We are.
I went Stable of Stars.
Oh.
So, it's kind of like, and I'm trying to, if we had to categorize sketches, I mean, it's just a, like, paradigm-shifting type sketch where it's just, like, you have this collection of, like, older, like, senile men that you, like, go around with, and there's different rules for them, and there's different price points, and it's, like, it's just, like, I don't know how they thought of this. I mean, I guess they started with an idea of an impersonator, and then they were like, whoa, wait a minute, what if they're crazy, and what if they're old, and they start hitting people. But the first watch when he hits that guy, it is so fucking, like, you don't see it coming. It's fucking crazy. Because it's like a very lighthearted thing, you know, just to see, like, oh, like, look, they got a Johnny Carson impersonator. And then he's like not that close to looking like Johnny Carson. I mean, you can kind of tell that they were trying that. But I don't know. I just, and then I think we talked about this. I like the subtle digs of the neighborhood that Jim throws in, which I think are hilarious.
There's nothing cute.
Yeah.
I think the beginning of this sketch was them poking fun at how everything has, like, price levels now.
Yeah,
so it's maybe. Like, as you know, I recently flew, and, like, we were getting these emails that were like, you are not allowed to check a bag.
Yeah, right.
It's
right.
Like, okay, man, cool. Like, whatever. You know, like, which is literally the, like, flying version of they're allowed to hit.
Yeah, I think I flew Spirit Airlines recently, and I kept getting hit by the flight attendants because I didn't pay the extra $5 yeah. to not get hit.
That has got to be the airline where they can't pay.
Sure. Like, for $5 more, we will put a second engine on the plane.
Right.
Oh, Lord. I know we talked a little bit about Stable of Stars as well, because yeah, I had it ranked.
Yeah, you had it.
That's
ranked.
Definitely our biggest disagreement. But again, it's like all MIT students, you know what I mean?
It's true.
James, do you have anything to throw in on?
No, I think, yeah, I feel like you guys touched on it. I mean, I feel like there's a little bit of poking fun at the sort of irony poisoned millennial, like,
yeah,
or maybe it's like, I don't know, Gen Z, I don't know what age those, I feel like they're millennials, but we're,
yeah,
like,
I would go millennial,
yeah, the gift is sort of like an ironic gift, but like to the extreme of buying this cheap celebrity impersonator. And so it's a little bit is like poking fun at that kind of style of like person and like, you know, overly hip, irony poisoned humor where they like think it's really clever, but yeah, I mean, the sketch is great all around though.
What, how do you guys interpret the business Stable of Stars as a form of torture for these elderly gentlemen, or is it a good thing for them?
I think I can feel that there's a ton of people who like have to work in their 70s, like,
yeah,
working is so ingrained in them. In fact, again, I'm not going to give away what it is, but I work in an industry where there's like a scary stat about people retiring and immediately dying, like immediately.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, yeah, I mean, like, I went to like an amusement park recently, and there was this guy working there, super cool guy I ended up talking with, and he was just like, yeah, I just come down here, like, it's fun for me to get out of the house for a few hours a day. I was like, yeah, I get that. Totally get it. I'm just hoping we're like,
you're on the like good thing side of this then. Like, you think.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Those guys are having fun.
Yeah.
They're going to a party. All
right. I feel better.
Yeah. Okay. They're retired, and it's just their way of getting out of the house and, you know, feeling like they're active, hitting people.
Slapping some people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A little extra money for the golf course or whatever. I mean, we're going to have podcasting. So, like, we're doing like rehashing like baby of the year in like 2072, and people are gonna be like, "What are these guys talking about?" was that on two dimensional TV or what? All right, I think we're at the point where we take like a 2 minute break.
Yep.
Sounds good.
Now we're getting into some heavy hitters. I don't know. I think when we come back, and this will be coming back from commercial since we have a sponsor, our friends at Swayzine. I might have a death threat one again. But we're top 11, like it's that hot of a take, right?
I'm a little nervous about you putting my number one, because I'm all in on my new number one. I'm just worried that you're gonna rank it really low. But we'll see.
I think I know what your number one is, if I had to guess, and I think it's my, but I could be wrong.
Okay. All right.
That's a Chunky has always been supported by the Etsy shop of Swayzine, Swayzine. In the past, you've seen his amazing motivational posters, his at the Nighthawks diner featuring characters from I Think You Should Leave. You also know his vintage jazz posters of Paul Bufano, Marcus the Worm Hicks, and Mookie Kramer. Swayzine has a ton of new items in his shop we wanted to let you guys know about. Those three jazz posters have been turned into attractive t-shirts. The Marcus Hicks in blue, the Mookie Kramer in green, Paul Bufano in white. He has a very affordable Bozo the Clown Clown Pewter sticker that you can put on your computer. There is a Baby of the Year bib and onesie. He has Angels and Archways t-shirts, as well as two new posters, one featuring Dangerous Nights, which is being framed and put on my wall, and an amazing portrait of Brian from the hat sketch, the insider trading sketch. But the whole point of me re-recording this ad was to tell you about maybe the most innovative I Think You Should Leave product I've seen in my time doing this podcast, which is actual Dan Flash's shirts. So this isn't like a t-shirt that says Dan Flash on the front. This is a short or short sleeve polo or a long sleeve collared shirt that has the pattern Tim Robinson is wearing in the Dan Flash's sketch, affordably priced at $30. I know when I went to the Dan Flash's stores at the Creeks, I spent $800 out the door and didn't eat for a long time, saving my per diem. But if you go to Etsy.com/shop/Swayzine, again, Swayzine is Swayzine. You can own these shirts yourself. And we want to thank Reggie from Swayzine for his support of That's a Chunky.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.